The Ireland-Portugal Business Network is comprised of more than 200 member companies based in Portugal and Ireland. These companies are from a wide range of industries and professions and represent in excess of 25,000 people.
Welcome to the IPBN podcast. I'm Ellis Dixon, the marketing and content manager of the network, and joining me today is Hillary O'Shea, the co-founder and CCO of Autonomy, a company that outsources fully remote talent to help businesses scale sustainably. I've spoken with Hillary before during the pandemic when the company was in its infancy, but so much has happened since then that I thought was important to check back in. So today we'll be discussing the Autonomy story, B Corp certifications, expansion plans, and new partnerships, and we'll try to wrap our heads around what the future holds for the company. Thanks for joining me, Hillary.
Thank you, Ellis. Delighted to be back on the podcast with you.
Well, I actually just wanted to kind of let you lead us through the Autonomy story to get us started. Can you kind of take us back to the beginning, like what inspired the creation of Autonomy and what have been the key milestones in your journey to growing to a 350 person global team?
Absolutely, Ellis. So first of all, you know, what is Autonomy? What do we do? So we design customer management, technical support, operations solutions for scaling companies. We are, I suppose, a premium support outsourcer, and our clients would be in industries such as e-commerce, SaaS, health tech. We have clients all around the world, mainly in Europe and in the US. And then our team members, we all work fully remotely. As you mentioned, we are 4 years into the Autonomy journey, and we are now 360 team members strong. We are employing another 150 team members. We had said that we would be, or anticipated we would be 500 team members by December, but we're going to reach that number much more quickly than we anticipated. So at the moment, we have amazing people in Ireland. In Portugal, of course, we've been in Portugal since 2021, in the US, in Florida, in Georgia, in North Carolina, in Bulgaria, in the Philippines, and also in Japan. For a company that's 4 years old, I suppose we have scaled rapidly.
That's putting it mildly. I mean, I remember just when you guys were just getting started speaking during the pandemic when there was nothing to do but, you know, make big plans, but you've actually achieved them and then some. It's just absolutely incredible.
Thank you. Well, I suppose, look, the journey of, I suppose, how we founded the company, I always say the backstory is as important as the present or the future vision. And really, you know, giving you an insight into why we founded Autonomy, we founded it to solve a problem, right? And the fully remote operating model was one of the reasons or one of the ways that we felt we could solve the problem and disrupt the traditional BPO. So as you know, Ellis, Aidan is co-founder and our CEO in Autonomy. We're also married. We live in a very busy house. We have four teenagers, two golden retrievers. But we founded Autonomy during the pandemic. So like everybody else, we were sitting at home in our kitchen looking at the changes happening in the world of work. The backstory is important because Aidan had spent 20 plus years in the BPO industry. So Aidan, along with senior members of the Autonomy leadership team, you know, Brendan, our chief people officer, Rafal, who's our CTO, had, I suppose, spent 20 years in what we call the large city, large building BPO contact center setup. They had people in Guatemala, San Francisco, Manila, Bucharest, Dublin, Cork, you know, South America. And they were running and operating, you know, large global contact centers, you know, with 6,000 people. But there was massive problems with that big building, big city model. First of all, you were asking employees to leave their homes and to, you know, change and go and live in another city. And there was problems with that. It was hard to get people, hard to keep people. Employees' lives were difficult. It was a very, I suppose, hard situation, a very lonely situation for people. The work as well was different. Often it was probably, lower pay, lower instruction. Clients were kind of okay with that as well. That was the industry at the time. There was huge attrition because it just didn't work for people. They couldn't find accommodation. They were moving away from family and friends. So, while there was a focus on the building and the buildings were incredible, there was also in every city, another large competitor around the corner. So there was the Apples, the Googles, the Metas. So there was a huge drain, I suppose, of employees from a client point of view in the BPO then that led to a huge loss of knowledge. It was very hard to ramp up to support people because if a company, if a brand needed support in, say, North America, it might take 6 months to go and identify a location for a building, hire a management team at huge costs. So that was just the world of work that we all lived in. I was not born in a BPO. Law, commercial law is my background. And that was exactly the same for professional services. We all worked in large cities. I had worked in Dublin, I'd worked in Paris, I'd returned to Cork. So for me personally, geography played a huge place in what I did every day. I found it very challenging, Ellis, as well as a mum of four small kids. We had four kids under six, and there was really no ability as a corporate lawyer, to work part-time or work different hours. We were all, on the treadmill of working 9 to 6, doing long commutes either side of the day. And it was very stressful, but we didn't know any different. So I suppose when Aidan and I were sitting at home and we saw how remote work was something that we all together in every industry had to actually engage with, I suppose Aidan very particularly thought that this could be a solution to solve the problems of the traditional BPO industry. Now, look, I probably laugh about this as well, Ellis. There was no grand plan to set up autonomy. There was no major plan for Aidan and I to work together. In fact, that was never written in the stars. It was very much because we found ourselves probably locked in our kitchen, and as I joke, the four teenagers and the two dogs, weren't really interested in talking about strategy, but I suppose our skills are complementary. So the corporate background with the BPO background, we always had spoken about work as a couple. We didn't really think that we were entrepreneurs, but actually we're probably unusual because we were in our 40s founding a company. But then when we looked back over both our own histories, we have very entrepreneurial families. My parents were very engaged in work, and my father had, developed his own business, and likewise with Aidan's parents. So unbeknownst to us, we were used and reared up with work being discussed at the kitchen table. So actually, when we kind of thought about it in a bit more detail, it actually had always been in our DNA, and it kind of co took COVID to bring out this vision and bring autonomy to fruition.
That makes all the sense in the world. I see exactly where you're coming from. Some people, well, myself included, sitting across the table from my partner, we joke that we were, looking at each other's ugly faces and just trying to make it through, day in and day out, So the pandemic for us is a bit of a blur, but you came out of it with something really spectacular. And actually, that leads me kind of to the next question. At our recent sustainability conference, the first panel discussion touched on B Corps, and I thought maybe it would be interesting to hear you explain a bit about the process of becoming a B Corp certif becoming B Corp certified, and giving a brief overview of what the benefits of this is.
Yeah, absolutely, Ellis. So, Autonomy gained our B Corp certification in September 2023. So actually, two of our entities went through the B Corp process. So the Irish entity and the Portuguese entity, you know, and that's actually quite unusual for companies. And it's quite unusual actually for service companies to actually go through the certification. It's extremely vigorous, I have to say. So I suppose the B Corp certification, a B Corp is a benefit corporation. So you go through a rigorous process. It took us a year, and you are assessed in all aspects of your business. So B Corps, I suppose, have the highest levels of social transparency. You know, how you deal with your customers, how you deal with your employees, what your environmental objectives are, how you deal with sustainability, how you deal with your stakeholders, and of course, how your business integrates with the planet. But every aspect of your business is audited for all intents and purposes, which will be very different to, say, an IT audit or a HR audit that doesn't look at other areas. B Corp looks as well at your governance model. So you actually have to change the memo and arts of the company to state that you move from, I suppose, traditional shareholder supremacy to stakeholder supremacy, which means that you take into consideration all stakeholders in every decision that you make, right? So that's the kernel of it. But again, our journey to becoming a B Corp is very, very aligned with autonomy's journey and our growth. So at the very outset, as I explained in 2020, we had three founding pillars. We had the people pillar, so really having a focus on employee experience and actually giving people the autonomy to choose where they live and work in terms of their home place and, you know, place of work. So we all worked from our homes. This was it wasn't ever done before. Our people pillar, so allowing, I suppose, partners and helping partners to scale faster by being able to deploy faster than the traditional BPO industry. So one of our traits would be that we're extremely nimble, we're extremely flexible. We can onboard anywhere in the world. We can have people supporting your brand in a matter of weeks, not months. And then our community was our third focus. So if you think of all of us working from our homes, in 360 locations, you know, soon to be 500 locations around the world, we actually speak about, you know, we're here to create a difference, you know, and one of our values is we hear all voices and we say that we create a difference, no matter how great, no matter how small. So what we like to do is kind of look at how we can actually engage with communities in a very, very small way. But all of us doing that in our communities will give us critical mass. And for us and me in particular, when we were founding Autonomy, I would have heard Brian Chesky, who is the co-founder of Airbnb, say that, you know, the world should be a better place for the fact that your company exists, not a worse place. And I think actually, Ellis, in the current environment, and there's a huge amount of change, like I actually think of that piece of advice nearly on a daily basis, you know, and we're really trying to make a small difference in people's lives. And I think we are doing that on a day-to-day basis. So I suppose those three pillars that we had, our people, our partners, and our communities, were fundamental, right? And they form really what's in our DNA, all of us as team members in Autonomy. B Corp, we don't see it as a certification, right? We see it as part of that DNA that I'm speaking about. So Aidan came across B Corp in 2021. There were only 4,000 B Corps in the world at that stage. And there are actually only 10,000 B Corps now, right? So it's a very, very rigorous and hard certification to get, and for good reason. You also have to recertify every 3 years. So we are actually, I suppose it's a game of constant improvement, which it should be. It's not a badge that you just earn and stick up. in your
Yeah,
office, right?
sure, for sure. It's a method, it's a matter of checks and balances. You've got to make sure that everything is up to date, everything where is working well, like a well-oiled machine. And you know, you once you already submit the paperwork for 1 year, you're already working on the next one for 3 years later, I'm sure. But this is a way of making sure that you know, you find that you're that you keep your company on the right path.
100%. And it really, like you mentioned there, to me it's like a muscle, right? It's like, you know, the lungs. It's just something that is innate in a company. It's how you hire. It's how you retain amazing team members. It's your decision making. It's part of your strategy. So as a B Corp, like those qualities, those values, like are shared amongst a community. It's a way of doing business, right? That's actually very, very important. It also is a marker for team members who want to join a company. So for example, we're hiring now across the world. So the US, Ireland, Portugal, but also in other locations, as I mentioned, we're hiring a diverse, you know, range of skills. So customer management, you know, business analytics, marketing teams, data analytics, operations leads. So there's a huge diversity of roles there. But for those team members, if you're interested in joining a growing purpose-driven company, B Corp for you is a external, you know, mark and I suppose check that autonomy actually, you know, operates to the highest levels of business transparency that we can. To our suppliers, to our clients, it's also a mark of our integrity in business. And that's very, very important in a busy world where there's a lot of competition, a lot of noise. So for us, it's a huge brand differentiator in a busy marketplace. But it
Sure.
also, on a day-to-day basis, it's just part of our values. It's part of what we do, you know, in the small decisions, in the big decisions.
Excellent. Well, other than the rigorous process of applying for B Corp, what have been some of the other big challenges, and maybe the benefits as well of your massive international scaling?
Yeah, and look, that's a very interesting question because, like we, gosh, we have, you know, tripled the size of the company in 9 months. You know, our growth will be, you know, 5x this year. You know, we now have four, you know, major clients in the US, which for a company that isn't actually very present in the US is a huge achievement. Our challenges, I suppose, have been, I suppose, a couple. Funding was a challenge, has been a challenge, is a challenge. So, with growth like that, there is a huge amount of, you know, day-to-day work and governance, you know, on our forecasts, on our finance, on our cash flow. You know, it's a very intensive, cash-intensive business. We've got great support in the marketplace. We have got great support from our investors. We have also, as shareholders, Aidan and I, invested hugely in the company. And I suppose, as entrepreneurs, that probably has been a challenge also, that you are inextricably linked. You personally are inextricably linked with the needs of the company. Culture was another area that we were, I suppose, you know, questioning and concerned, you know, would our culture withstand massive growth? And actually, Ellis, we are proud to say that we feel it has. Now, like B Corp, we are always iterating, we are always improving. We will never say that, oh, that's the box ticked and we don't have to work on this. A word we use a lot is that we're intentional about our culture. You know, we come into work every day and there's an energy and a drive that is actually invested on a daily, hourly basis in our culture. You know, I suppose transparency is very important in a fully remote environment. You know, we work hard, as I said, at our culture. We've worked very hard to attract and to retain great people. And we're very proud of that. We instill, I suppose, leadership skills we feel earlier in our organizations than, say, in an office setup, because we have to, because the message and the values, we're very strong in our values, very strong in our behaviors. We actually only recently held, an in-person event for nearly 50 of our leadership team. So we all actually met in Ireland. So colleagues from Bulgaria, from Ireland, from Portugal, arrived, and we spent a day with a facilitator talking about our culture and our values and our behaviors. And, those leaders will feed back into their team. So, like, that is an investment that autonomy feels very, very strongly about. I'm very proud as a woman that we have, 153 women in autonomy. We have 32 female leaders in autonomy. If you look at our internal movement from a female point of view, we've had 50 movers internally in career progression, in autonomy. So, like, stats like that just blow me away, because I know how hard it is. I've reared four kids. I've worked away, and I've worked full time. I've worked part time. I'm now working all the time, but my kids are,
I was
they're
just going
older. They're older, so it's a different gig. But there's a huge pride, I suppose, in seeing people get really, really good, I suppose, premium work, supporting amazing premium brands, but being able to live in rural Ireland, being able to live in parts of Portugal that you would never find the same work. Being able to expand into the US, being able to live in Japan. Our team member, lives an hour outside Tokyo. Like, this is just, for us, kind of, it's a moment of pride, actually.
You
And
should
we
absolutely
still
be very proud
huge
of what
vision.
you've built. It's incredible. And just when you mentioned, the locations of the people that you're working with, the number of women and the female leaders, and it really, as much of an emotional and physical drain that it is to be an entrepreneur, it is something that you can really go to sleep feeling good about every night and wake up energized to get back to it. And it's really just fascinating and wonderful to see how far you've come since the first time we spoke about autonomy. So on that note, while we're talking about the various roles and various functions that you're in the process of hiring for, I think the number was 60 new roles last I heard. Maybe there are
Yeah,
more now.
no, it's so funny. So it was 60 some time ago. The next morning it was 80, then it was 120. We now have 150 really diverse roles for scaling partners. It's an exciting time. As I say, it's high value work. You've heard me speak about career progression. There's a huge number of ops roles, team manager roles. We're at a very exciting stage on our journey with AI. AI has always been in contact centers, Ellis. We use it on a day-to-day basis. Our clients use it. But we are really, I suppose, about to embark on a really exciting journey with AI. So we have been in conversations with partners. I suppose we are our ultimate vision, and we will be the human in the loop. So, there shouldn't be any fear about AI. We see it as a massive opportunity. As I say, it will enable us to actually do more high value work, not less. So there is plenty of space here. AI, of course, will take transactional work. It's ideally suited for e-commerce, for example. But there is such complexity. There is such speed. Customers' demands are now. And our customers, the brands that we support, they need to respond in the moment. So AI is an enabler. It's a hugely exciting time. And you'll hear a lot more from autonomy in that space. We're really excited about it.
Excellent. Well, aside from AI roles and you said 150 new roles for various clients, it's incredible. What kind of qualities would you say would make someone a good fit for autonomy as an employee?
Yeah, that's a really important point. So obviously, look, in every job spec, we outline the qualifications needed, right? So that, I suppose, is sometimes an easy exercise to fill. What we really look for is the skills that it actually will allow us to support, this new generation of brands. So we're even when we see the advancements and the changes in our clients' business, say for example in the area of health tech. So we're looking for people who want to go on that journey with us. So we're looking at people who, I suppose, their own personal values align with our values: curiosity, be solution focused, do great work, people who want to grow with a purpose-driven company, but also supporting great brands who, have sustainability, employee experience, great customer experience at the fore as well. So at the end of the day, Ellis, look, for me, I simplify it, right? We are, nice people to work with. We're engaging. We are helpful. We are inquisitive. We are solution focused. I mentioned words like being nimble, being flexible. We need to respond to our clients' needs. So all those are traits and qualifications on top of or sitting beside the core qualifications. In terms of those core qualifications, we speak a lot about universal agents. So there's a complexity in this. We hire, I suppose, maturity. We hire adults. When I say maturity, I don't mean older. I mean people who have extremely good, solid educational backgrounds, in CX, in technical support. We have a huge diversity of people in autonomy. We have, lawyers, we have architects, we have nurses, we have, business graduates. And you can see the rate of career progression that we're offering. So I would really encourage, as many people with diversity, to apply for our jobs.
Excellent. Well, we're running low on time, so I'm just going to jump to the last question. Let's talk about the future. Looking ahead, where do you see autonomy in the next few years? And are there any big goals or new markets that you're targeting?
Well, I suppose the US is a huge market for us. As I mentioned, we already have clients there, but that will definitely be a market that, you will be hearing more about in terms of autonomy's engagement. I suppose we're looking to support the leading brands of the world. That is our vision, to be the go-to provider of customer management solutions for leading brands. So that is the vision. I think we're on track to actually, complete that. I think there's a lot of complexity, a lot of different service offerings that you'll be hearing about that we're working on currently. It's an extremely exciting time. I mentioned the whole, AI evolution and how that is transforming businesses, and customer service, at a rate that is just incredible to see. Aidan was in San Fran 3 weeks ago, visiting clients, seeing what they're doing, talking to providers in the space. So it's in a hugely exciting time. I suppose we'll keep on doing what we are doing on a day-to-day basis, working on our culture, bringing in, further, benefits and I suppose just trying to make a difference really, is what we're doing, Ellis, in our team members' lives. So I don't think there'll be any changes on that front, but I'm hugely positive, and hugely excited actually, in what the future will bring.
Amazing. Well, if the network can support you guys in any way that we haven't been, please let us know. And is there any final message that you want to deliver to the listeners of the podcast?
What I would say is, first of all, a massive thank you to the Irish Portuguese Business Network. Ye actually have been instrumental in making, I suppose, our I suppose our Portuguese journey a success. So we would have met Arnold at the very outset, actually in May 2021, when Aidan and I came over, still during COVID. We met outside, and you've been hugely supportive, and so actually have all of the members. And what I would say is maybe share the autonomy job openings. You can find us on LinkedIn, on Indeed, through our website. You know, share the story. If you know anybody who you think would be a good fit with us, we'd be delighted to engage. And thank you for your support. I have to say, you really have been instrumental in our journey, certainly in Portugal.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. If you'd like to hear more podcasts like this one that could potentially influence your business for the better, please be sure to subscribe to the Ireland Portugal Business Network podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're interested in becoming the subject of one of our podcasts, please get in touch with us online or by email to our general manager, Arnold Delville. Once again, this is Ellis Dixon, thanking you all for listening. Thank you, Hillary, for joining me. And I hope you'll join me for another episode of our IPBN podcast, which will be announced soon. Until then, stay connected.
This has been a production of the IPBN in partnership with Pinkroom. For more information, visit us online at island-portugal.com and on LinkedIn at Ireland Portugal Business Network. For more IPBN podcasts, find us on Spotify or visit our website for the full list of episodes.